Debate. Debate. Create.
Okay, here we go. Hey, everyone.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, all you girls and gays only. Welcome. Oh, God, I feel so weird every time I say that, but I'm going to keep saying it.
It's the truth. Like, it just needs to be said.
I know. Welcome to Rate, Debate, Recreate. I'm Sammy Purcell.
And I'm Logan Keller.
And we're back for episode 4. And today, we are celebrating one man only.
Jennifer Hudson, one man That's only.
It. That's it. This podcast is about cats and dream girls.
Oh no, that man we will be celebrating today is the one and only
Lin-Manuel
Miranda.
Yay. Woo. So excited. Once again, I guess we'll just kind of explain for all you newbies out there what this show is about. okay, sorry. Is that her? You have to leave if you're going to do that. Okay. He left the room. That was my dog. Might cut that out. We'll see. But he left the room. Okay. Anyway, so once again, for all you newbies out there, let's just explain what this show is about. So on Rate, Debate, Recreate, we'll be picking a musical. Me and Logan will both be picking a musical to discuss, and we'll be rating that musical on a scale of 1 to 10, debating which one is better, and then thinking of one aspect we might change and recreating it. And each week we have a category. So this week, that category, as we said, is Lin-Manuel Miranda. I'm sorry, my dog barked. I'm very scatterbrained now.
Can anyone guess what the shows are?
I don't know. There, you have like 3 options.
I'll four. Give
you 4. And it's not
Bring It On. It's not Moana.
And it's not Bring It On. So this week, my musical is Hamilton.
And mine is In the Heights.
Excellent. This intro went great.
It certainly did.
It's the best one we've ever had. Okay, so to start us off, let's just start this with a little description of each show. So I'll go first, and I'm not going to go into the specifics of Hamilton's entire plot because it is super detailed and it's like 2.5 hours long. But all you really need to know is it's based on the life of Alexander Hamilton, who's our nation's first Treasury Secretary. And so it follows his life and influence through the Revolutionary War and into the creation of the US and through to his death. And it specifically follows kind of the intertwinement of his life with Aaron Burr, who was another founding father and ended up killing Hamilton in a duel. So other notable characters include John Lawrence, who's his best friend, Lafayette, Hercules Mulligan, Eliza Schuyler, his wife, Angelica Schuyler, her sister, and Peggy Schuyler.
Peggy.
The best Schuyler. Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, George Washington, all those people that you know, etc. So that's the story of Hamilton. A lot goes on. It's pretty in-depth. Yeah, I'm going to rate Hamilton now, and I think I'm going to give Hamilton 9 out of 10 Southern motherfucking Democratic Republicans.
That is easily one of the most hype parts of the show.
I'm
working out to that, I'm like, Southern motherfucking Democratic. Like,
that's when I start running the fastest. I'm just like fucking chugging along. It's so hype, and those people are all kind of shitty, but you're like, yeah!
Yeah, and they say, yeah, right after that.
I know.
Okay, wow. So I'll introduce In the Heights. As the week implies, In the Heights, the music and lyrics are both written by Lin-Manuel Miranda, but the book in this one is actually written by Kiara Alegria Udes, and it takes place in Washington Heights, which is a historically Latinx neighborhood in Manhattan. I actually used to live there. I lived off of 159th Street. And yeah, it follows just some of the folks living and working in the Heights. So the narrator is Usnavi. His parents, when they immigrated to America, saw a ship And it said U.S. Navy on it. And so they named him Usnavi. He owns like a bodega corner store in the Heights. And he's dating Vanessa, who works at a beauty salon in the Heights. And basically, there's this big narrative of Usnavi wanting to live his dream of opening a bar in the Dominican Republic, while Vanessa, her dream is more to be independent and live in Lower Manhattan by herself and kind of like break free of this community and neighborhood that she grew up in. So we also have Nina and Benny. Nina left New York to go to Stanford and like commonly is referred to as kind of like the one who got out. And she just came back from her first year in this show. And in it, we learned that she struggled a lot in her first year and is not sure if she wants to go back. Benny works for Nina's parents as a dispatch, and the two fall in love, have their own little love story, although it's kind of some forbidden love because Nina's parents don't really approve of Benny.
I love Benny. Sorry.
I do too. Anyways, the big like conflict or like instigator of the story is that one day Usnavi learns that his bodega sold a winning lottery ticket valued at $96,000. And everyone is pretty shook and they're all like, want to know who won. Well, pan to Usnavi's grandmother figure, Abuela Claudia, not his actual grandma, but she's like the matriarch of this, yeah, this community. She won. And she thanks paciencia y fe, her patience and faith, as the reason for that. So, like Sammy's show, I'm not going to go too in the details because this one also has a really big, yeah, amazing but complex plot. But basically, each of these characters navigate their own challenges and struggles. And I would say the chief among those is Abuela Claudia's death when she passes suddenly. So each of the characters kind of go through their own versions of grieving this woman who they hold in such high esteem. And I think also that fuels this like ability for each of them to find their path. So Nina and Benny commit to a long-term relationship when she decides to go back to Stanford. And then Usnavi decides to go back to the Dominican Republic. But at the very end, he decides to stay in his true home in Washington Heights. And it's not explicitly like said in this ending, but it's heavily implied that he and Vanessa like stick together in the Heights and have a future together. Yeah. So I am going to start by being honest, which is by saying that In the Heights is, I like have three musicals that I say are my favorite, and In the Heights is one of them.
Mine too. I love Mine so much.
Yeah, I am going to give In the Heights 10 out of 10 piraguas.
Piraguas. Every time you said In the Heights in my head, I was like,
In the Heights.
I'm also going to give In the Heights 10 out of 10 piraguas. I love this show so much. And I think that there's probably, I recognize, and I'm going to fight for Hamilton, and I think, like, technically it's probably a better show, but I love In the Heights a lot, so I'm going to give it 10 out of 10 as well.
And I will give Hamilton 9 out of 10 Southern motherfucking Democratic Republicans.
We agree.
Yeah, we really do. I love Hamilton. I think it is an amazing show. I honestly, like, I would also by the argument that Hamilton might like technically be a better show. And I think that In the Heights just like resonates with me on a level that's past the technicalities that makes, yeah, it like literally one of my favorite shows. And I also got to see it on Broadway.
Oh my God.
When I was like, that was the very first show I ever saw on Broadway when I went to New York when I was younger. And I saw it with Corbin Bleu as Usnavi. And Jordan Sparks as Nina. And I'm going to say it, they both slapped.
I believe you. I love Corbin.
Especially Jordan.
I'm sure.
Corbin Bleu was amazing and was an incredible dancer. I just like, to be fair, I don't think I was a lot younger. And at the time, I don't think I got Usnavi as much. And I was kind of like, thought he was kind of weird.
You didn't get
I'd never heard anything like that in musicals.
Yeah. He was too much.
Well, okay. We can talk about this in our discussion.
Let's move on. Oh my gosh. But I guess I wanted to start off with, because I don't really want to spend too much time on this because it's been beaten to death by people who are much smarter than me. But I'd be remiss to not address it a bit. I think recently Hamilton was released on Disney Plus, which I think we've said this before, but I think that's just like a fucking great idea. People should be able to see things like that. And it's the original cast. So it's really, really awesome. And everyone like who sees it is always like, oh, like the staging really makes it or whatever. And you're kind of like, okay, fine. but like when you see it, it actually really does. So it was like, it was just really cool to get to see all the original cast and see how it looks and everything, especially in like a cost-effective manner. But with Hamilton being released on Disney Plus, a lot of criticisms that I think were made, maybe not as loudly at the time it came out, but I think people still talked about it.
They definitely were, yeah.
Yeah. Those criticisms resurfaced, mainly about how the show kind of leaves out a lot of context about slavery. Sorry, that was my dog again. he might interrupt us a little bit.
This is a dog-friendly podcast.
This is a dog-friendly podcast. I'm going to go see what he wants one second.
Okay, pause.
Pause. Okay, I'm back. I put him outside.
Okay.
He's just going to stay outside for the next, like, 30 minutes. Okay.
Right.
Anyway, so some of the main criticisms were basically, as I said, it leaves out a lot of context about slavery, and there are a few mentions about it, but some of them are played for laughs. Notably, there's a line in a Jefferson song that alludes to Sally Hemings, and it's kind of a throwaway line. He says, like, Sally, be a lamb, darling, open some mail. And it's kind of played for laughs, so that's a bit tough. Also, in that same regard, Hamilton, the real-life Hamilton, had a more complicated relationship to slavery than the show would suggest. So he opposed it, and he did try to limit it a lot, to his credit, but he was also very ambitious, so if something advanced his station, he wasn't really opposed to using slavery to his advantage, if it would help him. Examples, he supported the Three-Fifths Clause, his wife, Eliza Schuyler, her father enslaved a lot of people, etc. So I just wanted to bring that up just because I think those are really, really valid. And Lin-Manuel actually responded to this via Twitter the week it came out on Disney Plus. So he said, all the criticisms are valid. The sheer tonnage of complexities and failings of these people I couldn't get or wrestled with but cut. I took 6 years and fit as much as I could into a 2.5-hour musical. Did my best. It's all fair game. So I think that's probably the best response you can give. And I will say, I think all of the conversation surrounding it has been, for the most part, pretty smart and pretty complex. And I think that's a net positive just because it opens up for the complexity of American history, and it allows us to have more open conversations about, frankly, the evil people in some cases who started our country, because slavery was evil. So if Hamilton can be a creative and representative spectacle that sparks an interest in history and leads people to making their own discoveries, I think that's a net positive thing. So yeah, I just wanted to say that, and we don't have to talk about it anymore. Again, like a million people have like written think pieces about it and talked about it on Twitter, and who are like probably way more qualified to talk about it. So if you're interested, you can Google stuff. Sorry. But kind of going off of that, I just kind of want to go back to the Disney Plus movie version for a second, because where we mentioned it earlier about like being able to see these things live was with Legally Blonde, and being able to see the staging up close is like so, so, so cool. And I'm sure, yeah. And I'm sure people have like kind of said that, oh, it looks different in person, like it's not the same effect, but yeah, that's probably true. But whatever, it still looks so cool. Like, I don't care. And like, getting to see their faces of those specific performers and getting to see them at work is really amazing. Mm-hmm. And the night it came out, I watched it with my sister, and she actually kind of made the point, and maybe this is like a little highfalutin or like giving a lot of people too much credit, but I don't think it is. She made like the Shakespeare comparison, because you know, when, if you ever went to see like a Shakespeare play in high school, maybe to go on a field trip or whatever, and you were like, I am not going to understand what's going on because I'm 15 and I'm stupid. And how am I supposed to understand what's going on? My like teachers would always say, oh, don't worry. Like you'll be able to tell what's going on just because of the way they're acting and like what the staging is. And that is exactly what Hamilton is like. Like the words are really fast, like, but you don't need to be like a hip hop connoisseur or like able to understand everything they're saying for it to make sense and for you to be affected by it. My dad is like 65 years old or something and like pretty deaf and he cried. So like you don't have to be like completely well-versed and know all the words to understand it all. So I think that's really awesome. And I think that's probably why people say like the staging is so important to it. And it definitely is.
I was just gonna say regarding the like, argument of it's better like to see it live than the Disney Plus version that's filmed, like to me that just is like, why does that even matter? Like
yeah
it's better to like see the Super Bowl live, but like that's not like, everyone can afford that, so like the rest of us would like to watch it where we can get a free membership by cycling through different email accounts.
Like no, exactly. And it's like when people say that, I'm like, yeah, no fucking duh. It'd be better to see it live. Like, what an asinine thing to say.
I know.
Whatever. But I also wanted to talk about, just because there, so this entire, the cast recording has been out for like years at this point. And the entire show is sung through. So almost the entire show is on the cast recording. But there were a few things that were left out that I do want to talk about because I
think
they're really, really affecting, because it's just like three small things. That's all I can think of. It's John Warrens' death.
Yes. Which number is one.
So heart-wrenching. And also, Lynn has talked about this like a little bit in interviews and stuff about like kind of hinting at the possible rumored relationship between Hamilton and John Warrens. Like, there's like, have you not heard about this?
No.
So there.
But you know we love a gay narrative.
We do. And it's there. You kind of have to look closely, but it's there. So just historians, like based on letters and like interactions between the two of them, like think possibly there was some kind of romantic relationship going on. Or they were just really close friends, and that's completely fair. But just if you
pals.
Yeah. If you watch it knowing that, like Anthony Ramos and Lin-Manuel Miranda, like, touch each other for a little longer than necessary, and like it's very subtle, but they definitely like feed into it a little bit.
Damn.
And I think it's really interesting that like Lawrence's death is the thing that pretty much galvanizes him through the second act. Like he's like, right after it happens, he says, I have so much work to do. And the fact that they leave that off and then like hit you with it in the show is really great. The other two, the second one is Philippa Sue's wail of agony right after Philip dies. Yeah, not much to say about that. It's pretty horrible. It's really sad. And then the last one is the gasp at the end of the show. And I wanted to ask you what do you think she's gasping at? Because there's like a theory online that I like the most, but people have said different things. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. And I'm trying to think what I think about it. Okay, I just want to start by saying that this is just one opinion on the ending, but one thing that I took away from that number is that this show is about Eliza. Like,
yes,
that I like, to me, she is the protagonist of this show. And I also think that she is the character that's painted in the most positive light and in the most like relatable light. Mm-hmm. And the whole last song is about her and about how she's the one that built this legacy for Alexander Hamilton. I don't know. So to me, like when I saw this show live once, and I've seen it, the Disney version, twice now. And every time I left the show feeling like that was Eliza's show. That was her narrative.
Yeah. No, I completely agree.
I don't know what about the gasp though.
So this is the theory I've seen online, and I really like it. So the theory is that she like looks off into the spotlight and she releases like this gasp.
Mm-hmm.
And the theory is that she saw Hamilton, the show, essentially. Like, she sees what becomes of his legacy and, like, the creation of this show and realizes that she is the one who made it possible.
Damn.
Isn't that nice? I really like that. And I like that.
I like that.
Yeah, and I like that it's something that, like, is left off of the cast recording, because the cast recording is so complete, like pretty much everything is on there. Because
and you have to have some show exclusive things.
yes, show exclusive. Yes, but I really enjoy it. I really love the music, and I know at the beginning I said that I love In the Heights more, and I can't really think. Maybe you can help me. I can't really think of like a logical reason why. I think it just. Hamilton is like such, it is enjoyable for sure, and it is like easy to watch and easy to be entertained by, and like you can sit there and watch it as like a entertaining musical without thinking about it too hard. But I think it also like rewards thinking about it a lot. Like, I think that's important to the enjoyment of it. And not that thinking about In the Heights isn't as important, but In the Heights just like hits me in the heart in a way that Hamilton doesn't.
Yes. Okay. So yes, it does. And actually I can touch on that for a little bit, because I love both of these shows, and also In the Heights is, as we both agree, is better in my opinion. and yeah, I totally agree. I think that another thing that is really crazy is that I think that I would have told you Hamilton was my favorite until I saw it. And when I saw it, I loved it when I saw it. But the thing is like, again, it hit me in a different way than In the Heights did. Mm-hmm. And one thing that is like a big part of what I want to talk about today is I think the like humanity of In the Heights is so much easier for me to relate to. And I think that's, yeah, I think it's about people that are alive today, you know, like, and exist today. And I don't know, I feel like there's maybe just an element of removal because Hamilton is a historical thing. But for me, like, I like heavily, convulsively sob when I watch and listen to In the Heights. Like, just like, every time it just like touches me in this place that is, I don't know, I think the story is just so well done. And it like, I lived in Washington Heights for a little over a year. And I guess like just to talk a little bit about me living there, just want to acknowledge I like am Latinx and white passing. Both of those are true. And yeah, I like don't want to claim that I know the Washington Heights experience, but I did live there and I loved that neighborhood. It just was like full of so many vibrant people, and it was, I don't know, it just felt like a neighborhood, like people were always outside and talking, and it just felt like this like general upbeat community. I really loved it. And one that like really common criticism of In the Heights that I've read a lot about is that when it comes to like representing like Washington Heights as a musical, it like paints it in a maybe unrealistically positive light. Like, it doesn't address some of the aspects that are a lot more negative, which like is very fair, and I agree that it does that. Like, it definitely does. However, I think that like Latinx people deserve to have stories told that are really positive and focusing on like those really amazing things. So yeah, I mean, it's also like that's what musicals do. Like, they like, I mean, obviously some shows are meant as like a critique of some areas of the world or society, but a lot of musicals are about celebrating like cultures or people or groups of people or clubs or whatever it might be, and painting, you know, the real but also really positive aspects. So that's something that I love about In the Heights, is that it is this like really real story, and I think it has a lot of different real pieces to connect with throughout it. Another one of my like things about In the Heights is it might be my favorite choreography like ever. It is It's just phenomenal. It's like really diverse choreography. What I mean by that is like there's so many different types of dances and genres of dance that you see throughout this show. And all of it has like a big flair to it. It's the same choreographer that did Hamilton.
Yeah.
Whose name I can't think of. Kale Thomas.
Kale.
Yeah. I hope so.
You keep talking. I'm gonna laugh.
I am like obsessed with that. And I also think that another thing for me is I do think that there is a lot of truth in saying that In the Heights introduced something to Broadway that had never been done before.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I'm just going to say, and I knew this and I'm dumb, but the choreographer is Andy Blankenbuehler. There you go. But I think that's right. And as far as the critique about it, like maybe not showing off negative aspects, I think I was reading an interview with Lynn about In the Heights specifically, and I think that was kind of the point. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can disagree with the point he was trying to make, that plenty do, for Hamilton and In the Heights. But I think the point was like, up until then, your choices as a Latinx Broadway actor were West Side Story.
Yeah.
Is that it? Like, as far as without colorblind casting, which like, you know, is like not as common as it probably should be. A Chorus Line is another one.
Like, yeah, and then like one-off roles here and there.
Yeah, and so I just to like have, and in that, I mean, in West Side Story, all of the characters except like two of them are gangsters.
Yeah.
So I understand like the want to have a not pigeonholed role and a positive role. I get it. Like that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I completely agree. So yeah, to me, it just goes to this place that is so beautiful. I think that one character that like really, really sticks out to me is Abuela Claudia. Mm-hmm. She to me, I think is painted so well as this beautiful, like everyone just like looks up to her. And that makes it so heartbreaking in this show when they lose her. But also what I love about it is that like in those hardest moments, you know, like when you lose someone like that, I also think that those are our biggest like self-discovery moments. Like that's kind of when the ego comes out of the equation and you're more like in tune with yourself, I think. And all of these characters do that. They like go through this really tough thing and then come together like as a community in the end. And I don't know, that like makes me so emotional. And I think that the way the story is told is just so fun, so funny, like campy, like it hits all of the things for me. So yeah, I really, really love this show.
I'm so jealous you've seen it, because like I realized I said it's one of my favorite musicals and I've never seen it. But like the music in itself is just so, like, I can't listen to Believe without tearing up. It's just, it's so beautiful. And I think the way he, like, integrates different styles of music, like you said, into it is really, really cool. And I know Hamilton is, like, kind of lauded for that as well. So that just must be something that he's really, really good at, obviously. I mean, look at me complimenting Lin-Manuel Miranda. Like, he's really, really good at this, guys. But yeah,
but he also lives in the Heights. Like I think he does.
Doesn't he still live there?
I think now he's like a little more in Inwood, but he's still like at the border of Washington Heights. And
his address is just kidding.
wait, I have one quick story that I have to tell. So as I just mentioned, I lived in Washington Heights for a year. One of my roommates was someone you know, Connor.
Yes.
Connor Van Allman. Mm-hmm. Hello, if you're listening.
Hey, Connor.
So when we were living there, like this was like maybe 6 to 8 months into living in Washington Heights. Connor, I was hanging out in the living room and we were like all talking and he was like, oh my God, did you know that In the Heights is about Washington Heights? I was like, yes. What the fuck, Connor?
Like, did you not?
I was very well acquainted with them.
Wow. That's like, those are the worst. Like, just like so.
And also for context, people, Connor did musical theater with us, which is why I expect him to know. Like, he's not just someone that doesn't know about musical theater.
Oh, also, side note, I guess moving away, but Washington Heights related. So, you know how in the last song of Hamilton, Eliza talks about the orphanage? The orphanage. You know where it was? Washington Heights.
Yeah.
And they were good. He was like, Lin-Manuel Miranda was like, yeah, I thought about like putting a little in
Washington Heights. It's
like way too cute. I feel like I would have been like, okay, motherfucker.
Like, I met one of the best dogs I've ever met there at the Hamiltons' house in Washington Heights.
What kind of dog?
I was pet sitting for this family that lived there, and that was like the park nearest where they lived, and his name was Charlie.
Oh, and, hi Charlie. Yeah. Shouts to you, Charlie, friend of the pod. Okay, so the last thing I kind of want to talk about before I guess we move into the bop list section is the one place that I think I can definitively say I am more impressed with Hamilton than I am with In the Heights is the level of performance. So I kind of want to go through, like, I wrote down just things that like stood out to me and kind of really hit me when I was watching it this past time. First of all, I kind of want to start with Lin, and all respect to Lin-Manuel Miranda. He is a genius, but apparently he was gonna make himself Aaron Burr at some point.
Oh.
And I am so, so glad he did not. And I think that, and I don't want to, like, I'm not going to trash talk him because he's a, like, very talented actor and a very talented performer. And I think he's, like, well aware of the commentary around, like, his, like, singing voice, which isn't bad. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he's also, like, so good at casting himself. So, like, he can rap. So he, like, casts himself doing that. And he also, I noticed a lot, like, when he would have to sing, he was either able to cry. So it's like Dear Theodosia or like, oh God, what's that damn song? It's Quiet Uptown. Like, he casts himself when like the acting can kind of take over it for him, and that's where he like shines, I think.
Yeah.
So I just think he's like, I mean, he's really good at casting himself, and I'm so glad he didn't cast himself as Aaron Burr, because otherwise we would not have gotten Leslie Odom Jr. And I am so blown away by this man. Mm-hmm. I really don't know how to adequately like talk about it. There's such a stillness to his performance. I think that's what I was struck by most, is that he is like so perfectly controlled. And that's like a very Aaron Burr move. But like, I was so amazed by like the emotion and like strength he could convey, barely moving. And Wait For It, which is like so powerful, like he barely moves at all. He just kind of stands there, and when he does move, it's so purposeful. And I don't know, it was just like, as someone who did act, not professionally, but I was always like, keep moving, like keep doing things with your face, keep reacting. And he's so good in his stillness, so I thought that was really powerful and purposeful.
Do you know who he's married to?
I know she's an actress, but I don't know her name.
It's like literally to me, like the craziest power couple. He's married to Nicolette Robinson. Nicolette mm-hmm. Robinson.
Okay.
She was in Waitress. She was the first Black Jenna.
Oh, awesome.
She is literally such a bad bitch.
Amazing. That is a power couple. I was listening to an interview with him like a week ago, and he's going to be, oh, I don't want to get this wrong, he's going to be Sam Cooke, I think, in some like movie coming out. And she's in it as well. I'm so sorry. I think it's like Regina King's directorial debut. I'm really sorry if I got the person he's going to be wrong, but I think it's Sam Cooke. And I don't know the name of the movie, but I'm excited for it. So keep an eye out. Also, I want to shout out Renee Elise Goldsberry, because, and I mean, I only saw this performance that was on Disney+, but like so many actors in the show have just basically been like, that bitch does not fuck up. Like, she never messes up, and it's intimidating. And I mean, like, watching Satisfied, I was just blown away. Like,
yeah,
it's such a tough song. Like, who can do that? Like, that's fucking ridiculous.
That's my favorite song on the show.
that whole like helpless into satisfied, I don't know if you convince me there is a better scene in a musical. I think that might be the best. It's really fucking good.
It's so
really
good.
Smart. It's like well performed, well staged. It's just so fucking good. I was also gonna shout out Chris Jackson, just because one last time, like you can tell he's best friends with Lin-Manuel Miranda, because he was like, "All right, this is your last song in the show. Literally, go the fuck off." Like the end of One Last Time, after George Washington's like speech, basically just into all the riffs at the end, is so fucking good. And it's just like, what a good best friend to just be like, here's maybe like one of the best songs in the show. Mm-hmm. Just go off, use your instrument. It's beautiful. He really gives him time to shine and he takes it and he slays. It's so good. Yeah, everyone, David, like you can't take your eyes off. He's like so exuberant. Philippa Sue, as you said, like she's the emotional heart of the show, like by far. Everyone's just so good. Everyone's so good. Love it. Anthony Ramos, yeah. Fucks. He's so hot. Sorry.
He is so sexy.
I was about to get like really thirsty.
You know, he's dating Jasmine.
Jasmine, I know. Yeah. God, what a lucky girl.
That's another power couple.
Yeah, they really are. Oh. Sorry. We can move on.
It's been a long quarantine, ladies.
That's true. Move on. Do you have anything else you want to say about In the Heights besides it's perfect?
I just want to talk about the music, I guess, really quickly. I think that, yeah, I totally agree with what you were just saying about Lin-Manuel being really good at casting himself, because I totally hear what people are saying. Like, he is not, and I don't think he believes himself to be like the best singer, but he's not casting himself in these roles that are requiring these crazy vocal performances in a like classical way. He's casting himself in these roles that require crazy vocal performances in like a very different sound. And like, yeah. I think he has that sound, to be honest. Anyway, I think that like that music was just like not seen on Broadway before. And that to me makes me really emotional. I'm a Cancer, everyone. Sammy is a Sagittarius.
Yes. Emotional crew over here.
I'm just gonna do my bop list and then we can go to the recreate.
Okay. I don't know. You can just do yours. Mine is pretty long.
I mean, mine
is
2.5 hour
long show. That's a shorter show though. Go ahead.
Okay, my bop list is In the Heights, amazing opening number. Breathe, It Won't Be Long Now, No Me Diga, 96,000, La Ciencia y Fe, When You're Home, Viragua, Sunrise, Carnival del Barrio, Alabanza, Everything I Know, No Me Diga, When the Sun Goes Down.
Did you say Blackout?
No.
Oh my God, that is like my favorite.
Is I like it, but
closer? Oh, so
yeah, good. It is the first set closer. I really do like it, but if I'm being honest, a bop for me is a no skip, and sometimes I skip it.
Wow, that's blasphemous. I love Blackout. It's on my bop list, but I guess for Hamilton, the bop list, I don't think it really starts until My Shot, to be quite honest. Like, not that the opening's not good, but sometimes, like, I just want to listen to My Shot.
Oh, the opening is on my bop list.
Ooh, okay. Well, that's fine. Bursar.
No. Alexander Hamilton. No, I know. Bursar.
No, I know. I was also listening to some, I forget what podcast it was, but someone was like, yeah, I don't really like Hamilton. My friend told me like I needed to listen. I was like, what's the best song? Like, what song should I listen to? I wish I could remember what this was, but they're like, what song should I listen to? And their friend told them Aaron Bursar. And I was like,
that's like the least representative song of the whole show.
I was like, yeah, it's got that cute, like, you punch the bursar, whatever, but like, the best song in the show, get out of here. And then mine goes, after that, the Skylar Sisters, which like makes me cry. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, I just have like a very palpable reaction to it. Mm-hmm. I really like Farmer Refuted, I think it's funny.
I do too.
You'll Be Back, Jonathan Groff, Spit King, Great.
Oh my God. Sorry. What? Did I tell you that I saw The Inheritance right before quarantine started and I no. Jonathan Groff was in the row ahead of me?
No. Did yeah. you say anything?
No, not to him, but I was with Madison Kaminsky.
Oh my God. I would have lost my mind. Have you ever seen, this is so such tangent, but there's a TikTok going around of him on the set of Mindhunter, which is like a very dark, it's David Fincher, mm-hmm. very dark ass show. He's like very serious actor in it. And the TikTok is him singing that reindeers are better than people song from Frozen to all the like child extras. And he's like in his like Mindhunter clothes being like, that's once again true. Like doing the reindeer voice.
I love him.
Love him.
His
so
Anything
much.
Goes performance is like insane.
He's just Jesse St. James forever has my heart. Anyway.
Okay, sorry.
It's okay. You'll be back. Helpless. Satisfied. Wait for it. 1, 2, 3. That's incredible. Guns and Ships. Yorktown. What comes next? Dear Theodosia. Quiet Bop. Nonstop. What did I miss? Cabinet Battle Number 1. Take a Break. Say No to This. The Room Where It Happens. Cabinet Battle Number 2. Washington on Your Side is my favorite song. Mm-hmm. It really is. I love it so much. I never skip it. It's so good. One Last Time, I Know Him, Burn, Sad Bop. It's Quiet Uptown, Sad Bop.
Sad Bops are real.
They are. The World Was Wide Enough, kind of an emotional bop. Who Lives, Who Dies, Who Tells Your Story. So that's it. That's what I got.
Okay, I approve of that bop list.
I think we did a pretty good job. I feel like most of our debates are just being like, yeah, I agree.
Yes, I acknowledge your opinion and I'm going to tell you mine.
Yeah.
And that's on healthy communication.
Woo! Way to go. All right. Let's move on to the recreate section. Should I go first or do you want to go first?
I think you should go first.
Okay.
I have to be honest in that... Never mind.
What are you gonna say?
I literally don't remember, Sammy.
Are you high again?
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Awesome. Okay, well, anyway, I'll get started. So we've done a lot of talk about opening numbers on this podcast, and I'm gonna keep it going. So I really like that in this show, they're just kind of like, so here's this guy, and here's everything you need to know about him. That's the first thing. So
yes.
Tell you who he is. It's kind of like you said with Natasha Pierre in the Great Comments, like, here are all these people, here's what you need to know. Okay, good, let's go. So I'm going to retool the introductory song, Alexander Hamilton, to mm-hmm. be about other main characters in other shows, and then you have to see if you can guess
okay.
who they are. So I'm going to have to try to rap. Not very good at that, so let's just get this out of the way. Okay, so if you don't remember, the opening lyrics go, how does a bastard orphan son of a whore and a Scotsman dropped in the middle of a forgotten spot in the Caribbean by providence, impoverished, and squalor grow up to be a hero and a scholar? Okay, so I have 4 or 5 for you. Maybe I'll just okay. do 4. We'll see how we're feeling. Okay, so if you don't get this one, I'm never doing this show with you again. Okay.
Okay.
How does an ogre asshole leave home alone and succeed then? Make it to a house in the middle of a swamp where he kicks out all the other woodland creatures in anger. Grow up to be an ogre princess savior?
Shrek.
Yes.
I'm Shrek.
Good job. Good job. Okay, so now the second show. Here we go. How does a royal 8-year-old daughter of a czar get amnesia, forget her name and everything she's known, meet a con man, run away to Paris on a whim chasing a fantasy, grow up to find true love and her family?
Damn, that was good. Is that Anastasia?
Yes, it is.
Beverly Hills?
Yes, it is. All right, show number 3. How does a bachelor, cool guy, smooth with the ladies, has a ton of friends, learn all he can, what about marriages, try to keep his cool and love his single life without a care, grow up to want someone to sit in his chair?
Company?
Yes, good job. Oh man, I apologize for all of this. Okay. Show number five. How does a daughter, fatherless but loves her mother, so go to Greece and run a hotel with her mom before she gets proposed to, but wants her dad to be there at the wedding so he can see? Grow up to learn it's not one dad, but three.
Mamma mia.
Yay. Okay. Oh. That's all I got. We're just going to do four. That's all I got.
Those were good.
Thanks. I apologize for my horrific rapping skills, but oh God, we have to try.
We do. I think you did well. I think that the Anastasia one was incredible, to be honest.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. So for my recreates, I wanted to start by talking about what I think are similarities between In the Heights and Hamilton. I think that they follow really similar arcs, including even the songs and like their placement in the show. Mm-hmm. For example, like just one quick example, the end of Alexander Hamilton, the first time I listened to that song, I literally was like, they're like, Alexander Hamilton. And I was like, and Washington Heights. like a lot of the, I don't know how to describe it, but a lot of the like musicalities and story arcs are the same. Mm-hmm. And so what I did was I tried to draw a parallel between some of the key moments of In the Heights and some in Hamilton. And see, since we do think that Hamilton is more technical in some ways, if In the Heights could learn a bit from some of those songs.
Okay, we'll see.
So the first song in the Heights would be based off of Alexander Hamilton.
Okay.
And it is exactly the same thing that you did.
Amazing.
Okay.
We're on the same wavelength.
Sorry. It's okay. How does the Dominican immigrant, owner of a bodega store, move to Washington Heights, taking care of an abuela, go on to be a lotto winning fella?
Woo, that's good.
Thank you. And so that was the main one I rewrote, but other parallels that I would draw is for the Salon Trio. In the song No Me Diga, as like the Skylar sisters. Like, and it literally even pretty much works with their names. Mm-hmm. So you could be like, work, work, Vanessa, work, work, Daniela, and Carla, the Salon sisters. So everyone knows how iconic the Skylar sisters song is. Like, yes. What if they were doing that shit in the salon? That would be.
I love it.
It. I realize that Wait For It is literally like the same song as Paciencia y Fe. Like the whole point of both of those is like, I know that good things are coming my way and I am patient and I'm gonna wait and like, it's gonna happen. And it does for both of them in different ways.
My anger just kills a guy. It all works out.
And then I feel like both of these shows have this effect, I don't know what to call it, but it's this effect where just like halfway through the second act is when everything like starts to blow up, and then the rest of the show you're just kind of like sad and crying. Not in a bad way, but you know, you just kind of are. That's the truth of it.
Yeah.
And I think that the turning points for both of these shows are very similar. The song in Hamilton, I would argue, is Burn. And from then on, it's kind of like cry, cry, cry. And I think that in the Heights, it's Everything I Know. Oh. When Vanessa's singing about, And literally, if you think about the song Burn, like, I hope that you burn, it's like, everything I know. Like, it would fit, you know? Like,
yeah, for sure.
And then the finales are both like these big done up songs that summarize the whole story and like also reference the tragic deceased to stir up the emotions. Mm-hmm. And instead of who lives, who dies, who tells your story, it would be who wins, who dies, who finds their way home.
Aww, that's so sweet.
Because everyone, like, I feel like the point of it is all finding their home in,
yeah,
in the Heights.
In the Heights.
Great. The other thing I was gonna do, but then didn't do, was I was gonna rewrite that intro song to In the Heights, but about Hell's Kitchen instead of Washington Heights.
I wish you did.
I decided against that.
From like a Marvel vigilante's perspective, like Daredevil or something. Anyway, that was really good.
Thank you.
Great. So let's tease next week.
Drum
roll, please. Category is strongest female ensemble.
Ooh, ooh la la.
You guys can speculate down below in the comments what it might be.
This one might be a tough one to guess.
To guess. I thought you meant to pick. I was like, maybe for you. It might be tough to guess because women rule. So. But true. Still, you know, give it your best shot. But yeah, thanks guys for listening to our exclusive Lin-Manuel Miranda episode. We love you, Lin. You and all
we
your
do.
Earnest glory. Yeah, thanks guys. See you next week.
Bye. Bye.